Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we bless your name. Thank you for your presence with us. Indeed, you've proved to us that you are Emmanuel. Thank you for all that you taught and instructed us, and you are still giving us. Father, we pray that we will not fall short of that standard. And this grace we have received will not be in vain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Message is titled The Consecration of Heavenly Minded Citizens. The people who are bound for heaven, how do they carry themselves? How do they order their steps? How did they go through this pilgrimage? Let's proceed and read First Chronicles. The chapter is 29, and we read from the verse numbered 1:29 from verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, as the Lord is speaking to us this evening, Solomon, my son, whom alone God has chosen. The consecrated are those who have been chosen. And you must be among the Lord before you are chosen. You know, even other sons of David were eyeing the throne, but it was Solomon God has chosen. And we are told is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might. That's consecration. For the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, and oil stones and stones to be set, glistering stones, and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance, because it is the house of God. I have prepared with all my might. That is how the work of God should be approached. When it is the secular and for the corporate world, the same might, or we should even go above and beyond, because it is the house of my God. And then we are told in verse 3, moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, my desire, one thing have I desired and I seek after. You know, he set his affection to the house of my God. I have of my own proper good, not the excess and the surplus, of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold, of the gold of Ophir, and the gold of Ophir was reputed as the best, the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of silver to overlay the walls of the houses without, the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. Now listen to this question. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? My sister, that is the question coming to you. Bro, that is the question the Lord is posing to you. Who then? This is what I have done. David Nobody can question my consecration and my affection for God. But who then is willing? It's not compulsion. God is not a taskmaster. Who then is willing to consecrate his service? I have consecrated my heart, but where is your service? Who then is willing to consecrate his service? Not next year when I have time, when I'll finish my studies, you know. Yeah, I've just gotten a new job and I need to really prove I'm on probation. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? I pray you will respond to this call. Then the chief of the fathers and the princes of the tribe of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly. No compulsion, no cajoling. They stepped out to the plates and they said, "We are willing to offer our service to the Lord." And they gave for the service of the house of gold, of God, of gold, 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver, 10,000 talents, and of brass, 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. Now, you see, David, his consecration was backed up by evidence. You see, these princes of the tribe. Consecration was backed up. You can't consecrate to God without giving to God. And we are not talking about money here. It's the entirety of whoever we are and all that we stand for and have and will be. And we are told in verse 8, and they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord. By the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite, no compulsion, willingly, precious stones, they gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord. Then the people rejoice. The service of joy is a willing service, a service of consecration. That is the reasonable service. They rejoice. Why? For they that offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Now look at the common refrain in this passage: willingly, willingly, willingly. Are you here because you were compelled to come? Because pastor called you and said, "Bro, you haven't seen you, and you barely drew yourself here." Who then is willing to offer his sacrifice to the Lord? Wherefore, David blessed the Lord before the congregation, and David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, and forever and ever. Thy, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." This is the very quintessence of consecration. I pray the Lord will lift us there and bring us to that level. And you know, the believer's consecration to God is the sure evidence and the proof of the ahead. In the same vein, you cannot claim heavenly minded if you find it difficult to take your hands off your life and to allow God to take his rightful place on the throne of your heart. If you are struggling to say, "God, I surrender this life to you, be the Lord of this life," you have not yet passed the test of consecration, but today you will pass. That's why the Lord brought us here. Consecration and heavenly mindedness, brothers and sisters, they are two different sides of the same coin. In other words, A truly consecrated believer will be heaven minded. You can't say you are consecrated if we can't see your heavenly mindedness. And we see your heavenly mindedness by your tastes, your preferences, your appetite, the decisions you take on a daily basis, the sum total of which will show to heaven and to the people of God you are heavenly minded. And a heavenly minded believer will obviously be consecrated, because you cannot be heavenly minded if you are not consecrated, and you cannot, divorce consecration from heavenly mindedness. J.C. Ryle is telling us that, he said, "I doubt indeed whether we have any warrant for saying that a man can possibly be converted without being consecrated to God." In other words, Ryle is telling us that anybody who claims to be converted and is not consecrated, that kind of profession is a sham. It is not true. A truly genuine, individual will not struggle to offer their life and his service to the Lord. May the Lord bring us to that. What is consecration, and what is heavenly mindedness? Consecration, what does it mean? What does it entail? In Exodus chapter 32, Exodus 32, the verse is 25. Exodus 32 from 25. "And when Moses saw that the people were naked, for Aaron had made them naked unto their shame among their enemies." These were the people, Moses, the man, who brought us. We don't know what has become of them. Just set us idols. Oh, Israel, these are the gods. Just. They thought they were more enlightened. They knew how to organize themselves. But look at what their end became. They were naked and they were reduced to shame. Was it not the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden? When Satan promised our first parents enlightenment and all that he came with, he left them naked and shameful. The people who don't allow God to have his rightful place and be Lord of their life, the people who deny God the government of their lives, they are left naked and they are left shameful. I pray that will not be your lot. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" Who is on the Lord's side? That's the question. Who is willing to consecrate his service this day to the Lord? Who is on the Lord's side? "Let him come unto me." You cannot consecrate without separation. Who is on the Lord's side? You must separate yourself from the Lord and come to the Lord's side. Who is on the Lord's side? "Let him come unto me." And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. They had to leave that polluted, naked, shameful environment and gather themselves. You can't stay in that polluted environment and say, "I am consecrated, I am born again, I'm a child of God." Let him come to the Lord's side. And he said unto them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor." And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. For Moses has said, "Consecrate yourselves." The next year, we read from First Chronicles, David said, "Who is willing to consecrate his service this day?" And Moses said, "Consecrate your service today to the Lord." Today, to enough of the feet dragging and the lingering. Consecrate yourself today to the Lord, and every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. a blessing this day. The consecration this day bring the blessing this day. Are you looking for a blessing? Then consecrate and to be yours for the taking in Jesus' name. Let's make progress as we look at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We are talking about consecration. We are talking about heavenly mindedness. What do these terms mean? Colossians 3, the verse is 1. If you then be risen with Christ, it's conditional. Well, if you are not born again, go and sleep. This does not apply to you. But if you claim to be risen with Christ, if you then be risen with Christ, then as a consequence of that profession and claim, seek those things which are above, that is heavenly mindedness. If your life is so reduced to the lower part, to the earth, all your choices, every decision you make, there is no iota of eternity stamped on that, then you are not risen with Christ. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Remember a while ago, David told us, I have set my affection the house of God. Set your affection, your tastes, your desires, your preferences, your choices in this life. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. Why? For you are dead. You are spiritually dead to the world. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. You are dead to the world. That is consecration. That is heavenly mindedness. What does it mean? To consecrate. To consecrate means to be consistently Christ-like in your life. Consistently, not when you choose and when you feel like. It is being obedient and obligated, indebted to God. A life of disobedience is not a life of consecration. Consecrated person pursues a policy of non-conformity. He's a non-conformist. She's a non-conformist. He is not fitting in. He doesn't conform to the world, but the world notices him that this is truly a child of God. He's not part of their company, but they know that if you are looking for a Christian, you can find one there in that corner. It's noticeable. In Antioch, they called the disciples Christians because they took knowledge of them that they had been with God. The world saw them. Evidently, it is a simply and sacrificial service to God. Simply. It is not offering polluted bread on the altar of God. It's not, I want to serve, I want to serve, I want to serve. What kind of service is it? Is it saintly? Is it sacrificial? Or it is convenient, service of convenience? That's no consecration. Consecration is living a life that is exemplary in conduct and eternal in focus. Set your affection on things above. It is a committed and concentrated, focused, a life focused to the cause of Christ. It is righteous living and reverential worship. You revere God, you fear God, and you hallow spiritual sacred things. You don't pollute the service and the offering of God. That is consecration. It is a life that is addicted and that is abounding in the ministry to the saints, to fellow believers. Let's confirm this from 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, the chapter is 15 and the verse is 16. 1 Corinthians 15, the verse is 16. We are told there, "For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ is not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins." Chapter 16, rather. Chapter 16, verse 15. "I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." That's consecration. You know them. And it is not only Stephanas, it is his entire family. They move together. Are you in a family? It's only the wife that is addicted to the service of God. And the husband is pulling her behind. In that family where the husband is addicted, and it's the wife, scattering things. The house of Stephanas were addicted to the ministry of the saints. And we are told that you submit yourself unto such. "For everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth, I am glad of the coming of Stephanas and Fortunatus and Achaicus, for that which was lacking on your part, they have supplied. For they have refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge ye them that are such." The verse 15, they are there. And Paul is saying they are also refreshing my spirit. They are everywhere doing the service to the saints and to the people of God and to the kingdom of God. That is the consecrated life, the life that is heavenly minded. In Acts chapter 9, the verse is 36. Acts 9, verse 36. "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman, are there women in the house? Can you unmute and say, this woman?"
This woman.
God bless you. More.
This woman.
Woman. This woman. There was something special about this woman.
This woman.
We are told she was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. That was her consecration. You see a life that is endearing to the saints in this woman called Tabitha. Full of good works and alms deeds which she did. There was a disciple, a certain disciple in that church in Joppa. Let's have a record that there is a certain disciple in Kuopio, in Jyväskylä, in Helsinki, in Tampere, in Mikkeli, in Oulu, in Online, in Joensuu. In Turku, there was a certain disciple there, a certain woman there. She didn't have the pulpit. She was not in the choir, but she was full of good works. She had consecrated herself for that service. And we are told it came to pass in those days, she was sick. She was sick. And who knows, maybe her consecration, the work she did for God, made her sick. And sometimes the work of God can make us sick. Say, no, I don't want to be sick. But you can be sick for your employer. You can be sick for the secular. But why is it that we so shy away from being sick for God? And if we are sick for God, it is for a good cause, because we must spend and be spent for Him. And then we are so careful. It's winter, you know, we can't be here, you can't be too much, you need to be careful, you know, evangelism, how can we go to this place at this time? Hey, don't we do that for euros? Don't we do that for money? You know, there is a construction going on in my neighborhood, and in this cold, road construction, the workers are there, morning, evening, in the cold, working for money. She was sick, and died. But that's not the end of the story. Whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And as for as much as laid, it was nigh to Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was to be sent unto him, two men desiring him that he would not be late to come. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him, weeping. All the widows, this woman. Why? Because they were showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. Brothers and sisters, did you know that this is the only thing this woman did for her name to be in the Bible? That's consecration. That's consecration. That's consecration. You know, you are there working, you know, children will go forever. You have these children, you know, their craft and all these things. That is your ministry. It is, if this is all you can do, heaven recognizes it. Just sewing dresses for widows that earn her a place in the scriptures. And we are told, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, you are not going home now. Arise. And she opened her eyes. She opened her eyes, because there were more widows to help. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, presented her alive. Brothers, the work of God, because of our consecration, it can sometimes take us to difficult places. We are told the men who hazarded their lives for the work of God. Spurgeon is telling us that we should serve God by doing common actions in a heavenly spirit. Common actions, like sewing dresses, in a heavenly spirit. And then, if your daily calling, because of your shifts, we need bread, we need butter, we need shelter, we need clothes on our backs. If your daily calling only leaves you cracks and crevices of time, you wish you could do better. You wish you could dedicate more, but you know, that's where you are. The little you have, little is much what God is saying. Fill them up with the Holy Spirit. Say, ah, I have worked from Monday to Saturday. I am tired. Sunday is a resting day. But that was not you before. That was not. The Lord will bless. Let's look at an example. We've already seen some example, but there is more. There is more. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. The verse is 5. Let this mind be in you. This mind of consecration. This mind of divine ownership. This mind that this life is not mine. Let his mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. I am a doctor, and why can I have my PhD? Why should I be doing this? He made himself of no reputation. We respect the PhD, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, which was made in the likeness of man. And being found in a fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Consecration without humility is a sham. And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You know? The Bible could have said, became obedient unto death, the death of the cross, and that would have been right. You know why the word even was put there? Because dying on the cross was the most shameful death imaginable. Even the death of the cross. He lay aside his reputation and condescended so low to die that kind of death for you and for me. What a consecration. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see the example Christ has given to us and has left for us. Let's continue from verse 17. Yay! We see another example here. We see another life here. A consecrated life. A heavenly minded life here. And if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy. I'm not grumbling. And rejoice with you all, for the same cause also, this is Paul the Apostle, do ye joy and rejoice with me. And he was in prison when he was writing this. He's not remembering and grumbling. I rejoice. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man. We heard about this woman. And Paul is saying, I have no man. He's one of a kind, like-minded, who will naturally care for your state. Naturally, service is in the DNA of Timothy. You don't need to beg him. You don't need to, brother Timothy, Pastor Timothy, please, can you do this? He will naturally care for your state. Don't even ask him to do it. He will go above and beyond. Consecration. Timothy, he will naturally care for your state. And listen to verse 21. Sadly, for all seek their own. Yeah, my studies. Yeah, my job. My shift. My family. My children. These are legitimate things, brethren. There will never be a better time to consecrate. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. But ye know the proof of him. And he's still talking about Timothy, that as a son with the father, he has served with me in the gospel. Yeah, I'm a son, but where is your service? He has served with me in the gospel. He has been with me in the trenches. He is hazarding his life. Him, therefore, I hope to present, to send presently. I am sending him on leave. I hope to send presently. He is still working. So soon as I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, another saint, another consecrated life there, Epaphroditus. Look at the titles, my brother. He didn't say a brother. There was a relationship. My brother. It wasn't filial. They were not related by blood. My brother. And not only that, my companion in labor. And not only that, a fellow soldier. Not only that, your messenger. And he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all and was full of heaviness because that you have heard that he had been sick. Dorcas was sick. Epaphroditus was sick. And they were serving God. And the last time we went for the service, you know, the service was too long and I didn't get enough sleep. And so I began to have headache. So you are angry because you had headache, because the service was long, because the retreat is food, whatever. You are angry. You are sick. Epaphroditus was sick. And we soon know the kind of sickness it was. I mean, how difficult the situation was. For indeed, he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him. God had mercy on Dorcas. Even death could not overpower her. But God had mercy on him. And not only him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. Ah, Titus is gone. God, how am I going to continue? Sorrow upon sorrow. The most anointed Saul still needs an Epaphroditus. The most powerful Saul will still need a Timothy. Lest they have sorrow upon him. I sent him therefore the more carefully that when you see him again, you may rejoice. And that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness and hold such in reputation, those who have hazarded their lives like this, hold them in reputation. Don't disrespect them, because they have laid down their necks. Hold them, church, in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh near unto death, not regarding his life. Not regarding his life. Be gentle. You are running too fast. Please take it easy. The work of God, you don't carry it like that. Not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. The Lord will make us so. We have seen the example of Christ. Oh, we have the case of Obadiah. When Jezebel was on the rampage, he took the servants of God and hid them. That's consecration. He did service to God and the people of God. Look at Nehemiah. He was gainfully employed in the palace, but when he heard the broken walls of Jerusalem, his countenance fell. Why should I not be sad? Thank God I have a job. I have a, it's a permanent job. Praise God. Whatever is happening to your church, you go to church and the seats are empty. You don't care. It doesn't move you. Who did you put a call through to say, bro, how are you doing? Is everything okay with you? Nehemiah was not like that. He prayed, he fasted for favor to go and work. Although he was settled, that is a consecrated life. Look at Samuel. Despite the polluted environment, the bad example of Hophni, there are people when they go to church, they don't look at the good people to learn from. They company with the chorus, sorry, and the Dathans and the Abirams and the Hophni and the Phinehas, instead of looking at the examples of Samuel. What a consecrated life he was. Enoch, before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. That's a consecrated life. Caleb, at 85. Joshua, I'm sorry. You remember when we started, when we were young, at 40, it was easy. 45, it was easy. But now I'm 85. Give me this mountain at 85. That's consecration. That's consecration. Remember Ruth. Let's read Ruth chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. Verse is 16. Ruth 1, verse 16. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return. That is the confession of the consecrated. From following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. You see the tenacity? And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. The focus, thy people shall be my people, thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die. And there will I be buried, and the Lord do so to me, and more so if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded, that is the mind, the heavenly mind, she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her, resolute. That's a consecrated life. In Luke chapter 2, if you see this example and it doesn't humble you, I don't know what else will. Luke chapter 2, verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age. Caleb was of a great age. Anna was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. What was her consecration? Look at verse 37. And she was a widow of about 84 years. 84 years. Caleb was 85, Anna was 84, which departed not from the temple, but serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. This was her consecration. She didn't have the pulpit. Serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. This was all you could do for church. Serve God with fastings and prayers night and day. That was her consecration. Oh, we've seen the example of Timothy. We've seen the example of Epaphroditus. We've seen the example of David. We are told he served his generation. He served. He served. When others were chickening out, David, sorry, Goliath came bragging. He showed his consecration and his serving mind. Spurgeon again is telling us, he who loved Jesus, consecrate to him all that he has. And feels it a delight that he may lay anything at the feet of him who laid down his life for us. He feels it a delight, not a grudging, not a murmuring, not complaining. It's a delight. Let's wrap up with exhortation to consecration. Having seen this example, what is God calling us? What is God calling on you? We've seen the example of David in 1 Chronicles 29. I have set my affection towards the house of God. Who is willing this day to consecrate his service? Philippians chapter 2. The verse is 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, not I service, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good will. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. Because a life of consecration cannot be married with murmuring and disputing. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. What are we to do? In verse 16, holding forth the word of life, hold it, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. In chapter 3, verse 15 of Philippians, Paul again tells us, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, matured, be thus minded. And if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing, the mind of Christ. Brethren, be ye followers together of me, and mark them which so also ye have as for an example for many walk, sadly, of whom I have told you often, and I'll tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They are not consecrated. And look at verse 19. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? Remember, they are in the church in Philippians. He's not talking about unbelievers. Whose end is destruction? Whose God is their belly? And whose glory is in their shame? Who mind earthly things? They are not heavenly minded. They are earthly minded. For our conversation, the word conversation here actually means citizenship. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And as a consequence of this, what are we to do in chapter 4, verse 1? Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. And this consecration will not end in vain. My joy and crown. I may be weeping here, but my joy and crown. So stand fast in the faith, in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Yodas, I beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind. Tell Yodas and Syntyche that they should not pull the church down. They should have this mind of consecration and heavenly mindedness. They are caterpillars in the church. Tell them. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel. Are there women in the house? Labor in the gospel with Clement also, with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Their names, they haven't gone to heaven yet, but their names are in the book. I don't know. Well, is your name in the book? Well, I don't know. Maybe it will be there when I get it. It is possible to know from here. Yeah, their names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Remember, this is a prison epistle. He is in prison and say rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. The life of consecration is a life of joy. It's not a burden. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. But if I consecrate, how will life be like? Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, that's the consecrated life. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The heavenly mind pursues this. The consecrated life runs after this one. And then verse 9 says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. The consecration of heavenly minded citizens. Where is your affection? What have you set your affection on? What are your pursuits? Where is your consecration? Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Who is willing? Who is willing to consecrate? Christ didn't have to be compelled to consecrate. Obadiah, nobody prompted him to do that. Nehemiah, he didn't need any push to do that. Samuel, no. Enoch, no. Caleb, who told him to go for that mountain? Who is willing this day? Why don't you make this day your day of consecration? This 23rd day of December, why don't you make it the day of your consecration, the day you took your hands off this life and allow God to reign on your heart? Ruth, Anna, 84, Timothy, all are seeking their own, not the things of Christ. He will naturally, you don't need to beg him. Epaphroditus, David, brothers and sisters, it's a tall list. They are gone. They are the cloud of witnesses now looking at you and me. What are they doing? Are they playing? Or they are serving. We have a charge to keep. We have a God to glorify with our lives. There are never dying souls to save. Who mind earthly things? Food is good, but don't make your belly your God. There's a heaven to win at last. And we need to pay whatever price it is. Pastor, please take it up.
Brethren, the message we heard today is the reason why God didn't take us to heaven after we experienced the salvation. This is the reason why God is keeping us here. Let's commit it to the hands of the Lord. Oh God, I consecrate my life. And Solomon, the Bible says that David said that Solomon is yet young and tender, and the work is great. The work is great. And when I hear David saying the work is great, and I remember the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus, that the harvest is truly plenty. The work to be done is too much. But where are the laborers? Where are the people that will do the work? Begin to ask the Lord, oh God, I consecrate my life. Who is willing to consecrate his service to God and tell the Lord, here I am, O God. Here I am, O God. Use me. Use me, O God, to bring glory to your holy name. Use me, O God, to bring glory to your holy name. Consecrate your life unto God afresh. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. Are you going to consecrate your heart and your life joyfully, not forcefully, joyfully? If you are truly heavenly minded, if you are truly heavenly minded, you are going to consecrate your life joyfully unto the Lord and say, Jesus, I consecrate my life afresh. I consecrate my life afresh. But our pastor pointed out that Aaron made them naked. Aaron made them naked. The one that will consecrate his life unto the Lord is that one that is clothed with the garment of righteousness. Is that one that is not naked? Is there anything that is hindering you from serving the Lord wholeheartedly? Table it to the Lord now. Anything that is hindering you that from serving the Lord wholeheartedly, stopping you, commit it to the hands of the Lord now. Oh Lord, take it away. Those hindrances, commit into the hands of the Lord. Oh God, I want to serve you, but this is the matter. This is the matter. Help me. The Lord is here. This is not the day of judgment. Why not consecrate your life and tell the Lord, oh God, help me. Take away this matter, these issues, this stumbling block that is blocking me from serving you. But brethren, pray. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, oh God. Oh God, help me. Ask the Lord now, commit into the hands of the Lord your life, your situation. The Lord knows. Tell the Lord with all your heart. We must be consistent, consistent in Christ's likeness, obedient, obedient to the word of God. We must consecrate ourselves fully. And we cannot serve the Lord with polluted bread. Consecrate my life, O God, your life first before your service. The Lord will not accept any sacrifice from your hand if he does not accept you first. The Lord must accept you first. So you are telling the Lord, I consecrate my life to you, O God. And, O Lord, accept my service. And you are doing it with joy. You are doing it with joy. Ask the Lord now, O God, consecrate my life. And accept my service that I'm going to offer unto you. And our pastor mentioned about Sister Dorcas. She labored. She was full of good works. She was full of good works. And she labored. And the Bible recorded that she was sick and eventually died. She was sick and eventually died. And we now saw also Epaphroditus. Also, he was sick, even near death. They are the people that, and they were serving the Lord joyfully, begin to commit into the hands of the Lord. Oh God, help me. I want to commit my life unto you. I want to serve you. I want to serve you. I want to serve you. And Ruth, that's a great challenge. Ruth said, don't tell me to go back again. Our mind is made up. You know what Ruth did? Ruth placed a curse on herself. If not death that will separate me and you, she placed a curse upon herself. And when Naomi saw the determination, she stopped pressing her. She knew that if I eventually tell her to go back, I'm trying to place a curse on her. She let her be. And that is somebody that has made up her mind to get to the promised land. Somebody that has left Egypt, Babylon, they are going to the promised land. I will make it to the promised land. No kind of persuasion to go back. I have gone too far. I have gone too far to go back. All these years I've been serving the Lord. All the offer from the enemy. No, I have gone too far to go back. And some people, what is hindering them from consecrating their life is work. Say, God, I'm sorry. You gave me work, full-time work. I am sorry. Bye-bye to church. Bye-bye to the service of God. Bye-bye to God. Bye-bye. No time to pray again. No time for quiet time. No time for family devotion. And even if you hold family devotion, you are looking at time. I need to sleep. I need to wake up tomorrow morning quickly. You are doing the family devotion 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you take hours to watch a movie. Where is the affection? Where is your affection committed to the house of the Lord? Father, help me. Help me. Give me a clean heart. Give me a new heart. Let us look at history. If you look at history, the things, the people that did greater things, the things that we are pursuing, many people are pursuing, I want to build house, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to gather enough money so that I will not suffer for the rest of my life. I just want to gather too much money. Learn from the mistakes of the people of old. Where is Augustus Caesar today? People worshipped him in his time. People worshipped him in his time as God. Where is Augustus Caesar today? Where is Hitler today? They are the ones that conquered the world. They conquered the world. And after they labored, the things they labored for, they left it. The Roman Empire gone. The Greek Empire gone. All these exploits, they did great things in this world and shook the earth. Where are they today? Where are they? Consecrate your life. Eternity is coming. Every second we are drawing closer, closer to eternity. The time is so short. And the Lord Jesus cried out, the field, the labor is so great. The labor is so great. Father, I consecrate my life. Father, I consecrate my life until you are fresh. You are looking up to your crown. You are looking up to your joy to be in heaven. Brethren, Father Abraham is waiting for you. Moses is waiting for you. Mommy Dorcas is waiting for you. Mommy Anna, at 85 years, she was still serving. She's waiting for you in heaven. Say, keep on. What are you doing? What are you doing? What are you doing? Why are you leaving the service of God for the things that will soon perish? Mommy Deborah is waiting for you. Begin to commit it to the hands of the Lord and ask, oh God, help me, help me. Don't allow their distractions scattered all around the world. Many distractions, many distractions. Ask the Lord, deliver me from distraction. Then my problem, you know, ask the Lord, if your problem, if you are too much distracted, ask the Lord, oh God, my problem is distraction. Deliver me from distraction. Deliver me from distraction. Distraction. Ask the Lord, oh God, I want to be more consecrated unto you. The purpose in which you created me, I want to accomplish it. I want to fulfill my destiny. In the name of Jesus Christ. I hope you're praying and asking the Lord, oh Lord, help me. Father, help me. You can look at Anna at 85. She's fasting and praying, fasting and praying, fasting and praying, even at still at her age. Maybe she look at herself. Maybe she's now weak and all that. If I can't go for evangelism, if I cannot travel to cities, if I cannot do those hard things, I still have my knees, I can still fast. Brethren, commit into the hands of the Lord, your life afresh, and tell him to touch you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Ancient of Days, O Lord, we thank you. We exalt your name. Thank you, God, for your word we have heard today. Ancient of Days, O Lord, I pray that your word, O God, will bear fruit in us, that we are going to consecrate our life unto you, O God. Help us, O God, to serve you with all our hearts as we are put willingness to serve you. Help us to love you with all our hearts, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Do not allow us to be discouraged. Don't allow us to look back. As the days, the coming of the Lord draw near, as the coming of the Lord draws near, many, the Bible says, the love of many, they are going to wax cold. We see the love of many already waxing cold. Oh Lord, strengthen me. The Lord will soon come. The coming of the Lord is almost here. The Lord is almost here. Keep holding on a little more time. The Lord will be here. A little more time, brother. A little more time, sister. Keep holding on. Keep holding on. Keep holding on. And ask the Lord, oh God, help me. I will finish well. I will not stop on the way. I will not look back. I will not look back. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you. We exalt your name. We honor you and bless your holy name. O Lord, I commit, O Lord, your son into your hand. O Lord, a lot of virtues have gone out of him. I pray, O Lord, that you replenish him, O God. Strengthen him, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray, O Lord, you continue to increase him in ministry in the name of Jesus Christ. He will fulfill his destiny. And I pray that he will make heaven at last in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that no plan of the enemy concerning him and his family shall come to pass in Jesus' name. O Lord, I commit all of us in this platform. I pray, O Lord, that the word of God we have heard today, it will bear fruit in all of us in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that this message will not be a condemnation to any of us. This message today will not be a condemnation to any of us, but this message will qualify us on the day of judgment when we see you face to face. Father, we are not going to lose our crown. We are not going to lose our joy. We have but a few years left on earth. The time is even so short that we have left. But, O Lord, help us to utilize it. Teach us to number our days, O God. Teach us to number our days, O God. Help us not to be distracted from the things of this world. And the devil is using tools and several devices to pull us. Say, look here, look here, look here. Hey, you there. And help us to remain focused on eternity. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, thank you, Jesus, for all the things you have done for us. Thank you. Even as we continue, Lord, continue with us and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. Brethren, congratulations. God